Earth and Sky.
I think if we understand not just the luminous universe, but what is out there that's the dark matter in the universe, we'll have made huge progress.
You're listening to physicist Barry Barish of the California Institute of Technology, and this is Earth Sky's Clear Voices for Science. Dr. Barish is referring to dark matter, a substance astronomers think might make up a substantial part of the universe, even though it's never been directly observed. Barish is designing an instrument that he says might enable scientists to do just that, to directly observe dark matter. It's called the International Linear Collider. He spoke with Earth Sky's Lindsay Patterson.
At the beginning of your talk here, you said that we're kind of at a threshold in particle physics. What did you mean by that?
Well, what I meant is that we have done two things that have set the stage for the future. One is made a set of discoveries, observations, and measurements in the last decade that has pointed very much at what the most profound and attackable questions are in the future, and at the same time, we've built the instruments that will enable us to do those, the Large Hadron Collider at CERN being the most obvious.
Well, you said that our picture of particle physics, our understanding of the universe, is going to be very different within the next decade. What do you think that we'll be discovering in the next decade?
Well, I think the question that we don't know, we can only pose the question right now, that I believe we've got a very good chance of answering in the next decade is what the dark matter of the universe is. 25% of the universe is made up of dark matter, while the things like us make up 1% or less. And so we don't know very much about the universe. And I think that particular question is the most obvious. It may be others that we learn more about, but that one looks so attackable to me, and we're doing it in so many different ways that I think it's not an easy question, and it's going to take a decade or two to really understand it. But I think if we understand not just the luminous universe, but what is out there that's the dark matter in the universe, will have made huge progress. And this is a unique question in that it's maybe the most important question that we know how to attack in astrophysics. At the same time, it's maybe the most important question in terms of understanding particle physics at the same time, the basic symmetries of nature. So here we've got, if we really find a mutual solution, we'll have solved at the same time one of the biggest problems in particle physics and astrophysics at the same time, which would be fantastic.
Can you kind of expand on how that will change the ideas that we already have about, you know, what makes up our universe?
What we know is, well, first, it may not come out the way we think. What I was saying is we know how to attack it. We know what the favored solutions are, but they may be quite different. And so there could be enormous surprises. But what we know is that this 25% of the universe, that's dark matter, is not like normal matter, that it's made of some heavy things, and that it doesn't interact very strongly with other particles, and that it's relic. It's been around for a long time. And once we see what it is, I think in the same way that once we, you know, see new phenomena in optical or other astronomical devices, we'll have a new way to look at the universe, really, that involves a whole set of elements, particles that we don't really have on our shelf yet. And I think that we're not going to probably understand the universe that much better in the next decade or two. We'll understand what this element is, and then the following question is then how does it affect the way the universe evolved and so forth and so on.
What is the International Linear Collider, and what's the idea behind it?
Yeah, particle physics, or, you know, large science, takes a long time these days. And we can anticipate what we're going to want in the future. In this case, particle physicists pretty well know and agree what the next machine should be after the Large Hadron Collider, almost independently of what's seen at the Large Hadron Collider, but not totally. So In order to make the timescales reasonable, what we're doing is the design of the machine that would complement the Large Hadron Collider, keeping our eye on the science that comes out of the Large Hadron Collider, being ready to step forward when that science is good enough. It's a machine that will collide electrons and positrons instead of protons. We've done this in past decades, and the technology involved in doing it is somewhat new, so it's requiring a lot of detailed R&D. It's being done in an interesting way because it basically is a collaboration of the leading accelerator scientists in the world, independent of country, independent of place, as a global enterprise. So it's starting from the design. And even though we have international projects, usually there's been a lead. They've been developed somewhere, and then people collaborate and join later. This is uniquely being kind of designed from the ground up by a worldwide community, partially because it's such a hard problem and because the expertise is distributed all over the world, and it's attracted the leading accelerator scientists from around the world. It's the most interesting thing to work on for an accelerator scientist right now.
And how is it a complement to the LHC?
It's a complement to the LHC because in the LHC is like a broad sweeping way, like in astronomy, a broad sweeping way to look at things. Protons are not very well understood themselves, but it's easy to make a lot of proton collisions at high energy. So it's a way to quickly look at a lot of things. Electrons are very fundamental objects, and so if you can collide electrons and positrons, you're able to do very precision measurements and do things in a very much more precise way. And in the last decades, the combination of having an accelerator that uses protons and one that uses electrons has been a big key in the progress we've made.
Mm-hmm.
And so our expectation, we'll see if it ends up being true, is that we're going to want another machine like that to complement the LHC.
You've been listening to Barry Barish, a physicist at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena, California. To subscribe to this and other free science interview podcasts, visit the subscribe page at earthsky.org. I'm Deborah Bird. EarthSky is a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.